Translation. Henceforward, may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our head, hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Here the process of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead is given. This process is bhakti, shravanam, kirtanam, Vishnu, smaranam, padasevanam, archanam, vandanam, dasyam, sakyam, atmanivedanam. Who is reciting these verses? Anyone knows? Who has spoken these verses? Prahlad Maharaj. Thank you. From the seventh canto. Everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhaktir Uchate. Everything, the mind, the body, and all the senses, sense organs, should be engaged in Krishna's service. This is to be learned from expert devotees like Narada, Svayambhu, and Shambhu. This is the process. We cannot manufacture our own way of understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for it is not that everything one manufactures or concocts will lead to understanding God. Such a proposition, yata mata tata pata, is foolish. Krishna says, bhaktyaham ekaya grahyam. Only by executing the activities of bhakti can one understand me. This is quotation from 11th canto, 14th chapter, 21. This is called anukulena Krishna anushilanam, remaining engaged favorably in the service of the Lord. End of purport. The verse reads again. Henceforward, may all our words describe your pastimes. May our ears engage in oral reception of your glories. May our hands, legs, and other senses engage in actions pleasing to you. And may our minds always think of your lotus feet. May our heads offer our obeisances to everything within this world, because all things are also your different forms. And may our eyes see the forms of Vaishnavas who are non-different from you. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. So this verse is actually the final verse in the prayers of the two brothers, the sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Marigriva. These two brothers were the sons of Kuvera. Very, very, they used to be very rich. Kuvera is the demigod who is the treasurer of all the demigods. So that means he is the banker of the demigods. And if you think about today, most of the wealth of the world is owned and managed by the bankers. So in one word, if someone is a son or daughter of a banker, they have a very opulent way of life, and they have access to a lot of sense gratification. So the two sons of Kuvera, Nala Kuvera and Manigriva, before they became the Yamala Arjuna trees, they were enjoying themselves very, very much. And that enjoyment and opulence that they possessed led to them becoming very proud. And not only proud, but completely intoxicated. So there's a saying in English that pride comes before fall down, I think. As far as I remember, isn't it? Pride comes before fall down, before fall. So, because they became very proud with their father's opulence, and they had this position of that opulence, they had to be taught a lesson. So, Narada Muni came and he cursed them to become trees, and they had to be in this form of trees for 36,000 years. Long time. So if you do something wrong, normally material energy, material nature arranges that you become punished. So their punishment gave them the opportunity to reflect on their wrongdoing for a long time. So imagine you do something wrong and then you're punished. You're stuck, you're punished for such a long time. I remember when we were kids, we would get this kind of punishment. There's different punishments that can be inflicted. In some places, unfortunately, also physical punishments. I remember when we were used to do some pranks and some mischievous activities, we would be asked to go in the corner, and sometimes we would be asked also to rise our arms like that and stay like that with facing the corner. So like that, when you're given some kind of punishment, and that gives you a chance to reflect on your activity, and usually the feeling that we have is regret. So the two sons of Kuvera, they were punished 36,000 years, long time. And luckily, the curse that they received was spoken by none other than Narada Muni. And when the sages, when great personalities curse someone, this is actually blessing in disguise. So the two sons of Kuvera, they were blessed by Narada Muni's words of, you could say, curse, yeah? But Narada Muni had something in mind doing that, because the two sons of Kuvera, they were born as trees in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj. So imagine how much knowledge someone like Narada Muni has. He knew what is going to happen 36,000 years ahead. And he knew that they're actually going to receive the blessings of Krishna, who was going to deliver them from that condition. So these two trees, they were broken by Krishna, who was bound by Mother Yashoda. And as soon as the trees fell down, the two brothers appeared in their celestial forms and started offering prayers to Krishna. So this is the final prayer. This verse is actually the conclusion of the prayers. And what are the two brothers saying in this prayer? They're saying that they're making a declaration. They make, like, this is like the conclusion of their prayers, and they're making a declaration what they're going to do from now on. So it says here, henceforward, they will engage all their senses and mind and body in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is one word here in the Sanskrit, guna anukatane, which is translated here, always engaged in talking about your pastimes. Guna means qualities, isn't it? So, talking about the qualities of Krishna, anukatane. I looked up this word, this Sanskrit word, anukatane, and Prabhupada in one lecture describes this word very nicely. This word contains the root anu. Anu means, anyone knows what means anu? Anu means follow, yeah. Means also very small. Anima and mahima siddhi, right? The anima siddhi is to become very, very small. So becoming small means that you become a follower. You agree to follow someone. So katane, anu katane, actually means, anu guna anukatani means to describe the glories of the Lord following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. This is what Prabhupada says in that particular class. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that we should follow in the footsteps of the acharyas. And we should not concoct our own ways. There's two verses which are quoted in the verse, actually three verses. And the first one that's quoted is Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So this is the way we have to engage ourselves in devotional service, by constantly engaging our senses, our mind, our body, our everything in the Lord's service. So that's a quote from Shri Prahlad Maharaj from the 7th canto. So the senses of our bodies are the tools by which we perform various activities. We have all in total 10 senses, isn't it? These are the working senses and the knowledge acquiring senses. And sometimes it is said that there's also one more sense, which is the mind, the sense within. Sometimes it says that we have 6 senses, depending. So the mind is also a kind of sense, but it is more than all the other senses. In the Bhagavad Gita, there's a verse where Krishna says, Indriyani Parani Ahur, that the senses are controlled by the mind. There's a kind of gradation or hierarchy, and the mind comes actually above the senses. The senses interact with the sense objects, so they're higher than the sense objects. Then the senses are under the control of the mind, and the mind is under the control of the soul, of the intelligence, then the soul. So this is a kind of hierarchy given there. So the senses have to be controlled. In the process of yoga, you know that we have to, especially when we talk about Hatha Yoga, which is part of Ashtanga Yoga, The senses need to be brought under control. And if the senses are controlled, then the mind can be peaceful and focused, and the mind can be engaged in meditation. In meditation on the lotus feet of Krishna. So in yoga, the main focus of yoga is basically controlling the mind. It is very difficult job, indeed. It is very difficult, and even Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita that when Krishna tells him to practice yoga, Arjuna says, "I cannot do it. I can't control my mind. It's like a raging wind. It is so difficult to control the mind." When we speak of the yoga process. Now, when we speak of bhakti yoga, things have become a little bit different. Srila Prabhupada says, I've got some quotes here, there's not much time to read them, but in one of the quotes I found, Prabhupada says that the easiest way to control the mind is to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then if you can control your mind, the senses will follow. So here we hear that the two brothers, they want to engage all their senses. And in the purport, Prabhupada says everything. And then the mind, the body, and all the sense organs. So the mind comes first. The most important thing is to control one's mind. Now, when we speak about devotional service, what do the devotees do? They engage their senses in the service of the Lord. But most importantly, devotees engage their minds. And if the minds are engaged in remembering Krishna, then the senses will follow. Because I've got so many quotes here that the mind is said to be like the pivot around which all the senses rotate. So the mind is the sense within our body which controls all the senses. And as we said in the Bhagavad Gita, there's this progression given or this hierarchy. So the senses will do whatever the mind does. Wherever the mind goes. And the mind is a very powerful thing. I happen to have a very unpleasant kind of illness. It's classified as autoimmune condition. And most of the autoimmune conditions are caused by the mind, actually. As you could say about the same about most diseases, but I have noticed many times that my condition can switch from being okay to being in a very, very critical condition in a matter of minutes or hours, just because of the mind. So the mind is a very powerful thing, very, very powerful thing. So all the acharyas, they want to make sure that everyone's mind is engaged in remembering Krishna. There's a like sutra which describes the principle of preaching that the acharyas apply. So that sutra, anyone knows which sutra I'm talking about? Yena tena prakarena, yeah, mana Krishna niveshayat. So the acharya say that when we preach, our goal is to somehow or other make the mind of people remember Krishna. Yena tena prakrena mana Krishna niveshyat. So we have to use our intelligence to create ways in which people can engage their minds in thinking about Krishna. So understanding this, there's not much time left, 5 minutes, but understanding this point that the mind, whatever the mind thinks of, this is what the senses will follow. And in one lecture I was hearing this morning, Prabhupada describes that the mind is like the driver, and the senses, the body which is made of the senses, is like the chariot. So wherever the driver drives, that's where the chariot goes. So the senses are definitely under the control of the mind. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that the mind can be our friend, best friend, and it can also be our worst enemy. So the mind has to be engaged in constantly thinking, remembering, feeling, willing about Krishna, isn't it? And this is the goal of all yoga process, to engage the mind in thinking about the Supreme. So the easiest way, as we heard, is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But in general, what does Hare Krishna Maha Mantra mean? It means that we think of Krishna, we hear, and we pronounce His name. So it's engaging a lot of senses simultaneously. There's one quote which I want to read to you. Of all the quotes, this is the one I will read. Let me just find it. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sisiritaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gornitai ki jai. Okay, so this is a quote from second canto of Bhagavatam, chapter 2, text number 30. When we speak of hearing and chanting, it means that not only should one chant and hear of the holy name of the Lord as Ram, Krishna, or systematically the 16 names of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But one should also read and hear the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. The primary practice of Bhakti Yoga will cause the seed already sowed in heart to sprout, and by a regular watering process, as mentioned above, the Bhakti Yoga creeper will begin to grow. By systematic nurturing, the creeper will grow to such an extent that it will penetrate the coverings of the universe, as we have heard in the previous verses. It will reach the effulgent sky, the Brahma Jyoti, and go further and further and reach the spiritual sky, where there are innumerable spiritual planets called Vaikuntha Lokas. And finally, it will take shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. So, this quotation is actually describing that hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is as important as chanting Hare Krishna. Actually, when we hear in the association of devotees, when we discuss Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's qualities, Krishna's instructions, then we engage our minds in remembering Krishna. And these activities of hearing and chanting are the most important of all the different processes. That's why Shravanam Kirtanam, these are the verse quoted in the purport by Shri Prahlad Maharaj, it starts with Shravanam Kirtanam. So Vishnu, and then Vishnu Smaranam. So the first thing is hearing. Then after one hears, one can chant. And if you engage in hearing and chanting, you naturally remember Krishna. So studying Srila Prabhupada's books in the Association of Devotees is the most important activity in our devotional service. And then if the minds are engaged in hearing and chanting about Krishna and remembering Krishna, then the senses naturally, completely naturally, will be engaged in serving Krishna as well. So, and this is how the process of devotional service begins and is carried out. And this is how my lecture will be completed, because time is finished.